Hello, it's Friday, August 6th, and this is the Tangent Mile Report. You're tuned in to CHMA 106.9 FM in Sackville, New Brunswick. The CHMA studio is located in the traditional lands of the Mi'kmaq people, unceded in the Treaties of Peace and Friendship first signed with settlers in 1725. I'm your host, Meg Cunningham, and here's what's coming up today. Strutt's Gallery has revived its Living is Easy series starting this week. There are 13 new cases of COVID-19 today, most of whom are in their 20s and live in Zone 1. Someone who might have been infectious with COVID-19 went to Goya's Pizza on August 1st, prompting an exposure notification from Public Health. The New Brunswick Medical Society endorsed mandatory vaccination for healthcare workers in a written statement. And Festival by the Marsh starts this weekend with artist-in-residence Janet Crawford. New Brunswick's active case count continues to climb with 13 new cases reported yesterday. Since New Brunswick went green on July 30th, the active case count has more than tripled to 51. Over 70% of the current active cases are in Zone 1, which is the Moncton region. 29 of the recent cases are also still under investigation, meaning public health couldn't immediately determine whether the cases originate from travel or from a close contact of a previously reported case. As for yesterday's cases, 9 of the 13 new cases were in the Moncton region. All of those new cases are in their 20s, and 8 of the 9 are under investigation. The outlier is a close contact of a previously reported case. Sackville actually made the list of exposure notifications published yesterday. Someone who has tested positive for COVID-19 went to Goya's Pizza on August 1st, which was last Sunday. The person, or possibly multiple people, visited the restaurant between 2:30 in the afternoon and 5 in the evening. There is no additional information about the visit. It is possible that the person was not infectious at the time and was instead exposed to COVID-19 after their visit to Goya's, but there's really no way to be sure that's the case. Goya's Pizza is also one of the few businesses in Sackville that still mandates mask wearing for both customers and staff. If you visited Goya's during that time or any other exposure area, you can request a test online or by phone at 811. Anyone with symptoms should also be tested and will be asked to self-isolate until they get a negative test result. The testing clinic at the Tangemar Memorial Civic Center is still operational and can get you a swab and result between 24 and 72 hours. There was also a continuously growing list of exposure notifications in Moncton, Dieppe, and Shediac. Check them out on chmafm.com or gnb.ca. The other new cases reported yesterday were 2 people under 50 in the Bathurst region, which are under investigation, as are the 2 people in their 20s who tested positive in the Miramichi region. Vaccination is making a difference in who is testing positive, according to Dr. Jennifer Russell. She says that 68 of our 77 confirmed cases of COVID-19 since July 1st, which is 88%, were not fully immunized, meaning they did not have 2 shots of a COVID-19 vaccine. She also urges every eligible New Brunswicker to get vaccinated as soon as they can, and to be tested even if you have only mild symptoms. Another person advocating for vaccines is Dr. Jeff Steves, the president of the New Brunswick Medical Society. Dr. Steves published a statement on behalf of the society that agrees with a recent push for mandatory vaccination among healthcare workers. The NB Medical Society says that COVID-19 is still present in the province and specifically referenced the surge in new cases over the past few days. Healthcare workers, says Dr. Steves, will be in close contact with vulnerable patients and will be more at risk of contracting the disease. He cited concerns over the highly contagious Delta variant, which can cause serious illness, especially in those who haven't had the jab. The corner drugstore often sets out a road sign that advertises walk-in clinics whenever they have extra doses on hand. While you're on your lunch break or grabbing some groceries, drop by the corner drugstore on Main Street to see if they have an extra shot available. You can also make an appointment with them online at www.thecornerdrugstore.ca or with Vitalite at a clinic. Festival by the Marsh officially begins tomorrow and will continue all week long. Artist-in-residence Janet Crawford begins her week-long mosaic project inspired by the historic Fort Beauséjour on location tomorrow between 1 p.m. and 4 p.m. Artistic producer Ron Kelly Spurls gave us the lowdown on what to expect from the festival this year earlier in the week.
Well, there's a whole lot of stuff. The main thing is we're doing Midsummer Night's Dream again. We're doing that for four performances up at Fort Beauséjour. So that should be pretty cool, pretty spectacular spot. And we've been rehearsing up there. It's going to be really, really cool. And we've got an artist in residence, Janet Crawford, who you may know from town. She runs Fog Forest Gallery, and she's does all kinds of things. She sings and she creates art. She's our artist in residence, and she's going to be up at Fort Beauséjour starting on this Saturday, actually, creating a mosaic that's kind of just inspired by the fort and by the kind of magnificent vistas there. Mm-hmm. And then we have three concerts, I believe. On Sunday night, there's a Mel's is now capable of doing music, as it being a music venue. So the first show they're doing is a songwriter's circle with Kenny James, Alex Manzer, and Jason Haywood. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a pretty cool event, I think, and neat for them to be launching things at Mel's. Then Banishment of Poets is actually another play that's going on. And that starts on Thursday, and that's in the afternoon at Bill Johnston Park. And that's another outdoor production. It's by a local playwright named Sue Rose. Mm-hmm. And it's a play for families, so that's going to be quite fun. It's got clowns and sword fighting and all kinds of things in it.
Right.
And then on Friday, we have, so that continues until Sunday. Midsummer Night's Dream goes Wednesday to Sunday, Saturday, I'm sorry. And then on Friday night, the Tetramer Blues Society is presenting the Lockdown Trio at Ducky's Pub. So that's going to be pretty cool. There are three guys who often are sort of well-known support musicians in the Maritimes, and now they've decided to kind of step out and be frontmen for the evening. Mm-hmm. And Saturday morning, there's a Geeko story writing workshop for young people presented by our Library Theatre's Young Company. And then we have a cool show. It's called The Good, the Bard, and the Ugly in the afternoon. Again, this is an outdoor show at Fort Beauséjour, and it's a Shakespearean spoof. Mm-hmm. So it's got a whole bunch of different Shakespeare plays kind of mixed together, and it's a comedy, and there's famous characters sometimes saying the wrong lines to the wrong characters. It all comes together in the end. And then on Sunday afternoon, we have a Notable X Theatre Company from Fredericton are bringing two one-act plays up that they just had at their festival close just this Saturday, and they had two award-winning plays. They have a province-wide playwriting contest, and they're bringing two plays up here on Sunday, the August 15th at 1 o'clock. And then the festival closes with a presentation by the Fredericton-based group Fredericton Atlantic. One of them is Acadian, and they're going to represent Acadian Day celebration also at the Legion. And it's a bilingual show that'll be 8 o'clock on the 15th.
Check out the full lineup of events on festivalbythemarsh.ca. Stretson Fawcett is bringing back an annual program that has been sorely missed by its members throughout the COVID-19 pandemic. The Living is Easy is usually a summer-long program that invites all members into its three-room gallery to use it as a studio and display space for their work. Artists of all ages and experience can participate, as it's meant to boost their practice by providing them with a space and the tools they might not normally have access to. The Living is Easy started later than usual due to COVID-19, a switch in directors, and SappyFest's over 24-hour live stream taking up their time and energy. But Strut's web and program administrator, Izzy Francolini, says they are just as excited. So The Living is Easy is back after a year of hiatus. What is it looking like this time around?
Yeah, so it's fairly similar to previous years. We have three slots, so three sets of dates. When I say slots is what I mean, with three artists showing for each, so there's a show, like there are individual projects. We call them members' projects. So the whole point of this program is that it's a professional development program. So artists are invited. We sent out a call, and members specifically, because it's only open to members. When it comes to applying, members then can apply and say, hey, I would love to use the space for this. You know, so that could include an exhibition, that could include exploring installation. It could be, you know, maybe they need the space for documentation. You know, there's like basically the space is open. Like some people use it as studio space. It just gives them the ability to kind of explore and play and, you know, have access to some of the resources that we have here. Mm-hmm. We're also getting a, you know, it's a non-juried show. So it means that like, whoever can apply and things like that can get access to the space and use it, which is awesome. So it's the same in that sense. It's the same in the sense that we have multiple artists per. Like I said, this year we have three kind of slots. And they started, usually we have them going on throughout the summer. But due to COVID, that's kind of the main difference, is they started this week, actually. Mm-hmm. And will end on September 25th. That's kind of our last show date. Mm-hmm. So right now, I don't know if you... I mean, there's a lot of names, so I don't have to throw all those at you. Mm-hmm. We part of it, too, is I promote. So we promote on social media. We send out an email every single show. Because of COVID, one of the other differences is that usually we have an opening reception or closing reception, and then, you know, you can have a bunch of people in the gallery and they can see all the work and they can talk. But because even though, you know, everything's opening up, we're still a little bit hesitant to have big gatherings in the space. So we're actually doing the opening for the first show this Friday at the barbecue and kind of doing it in conjunction. That way people can, you know, wander through the space, but also then step out. They can participate in the fundraising barbecue, but also then talk to the artists who are present and discuss the work and, you know, actually get to kind of hang out and have that same community feel without the fear of being, you know, too cramped in a gallery space. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's kind of the main differences instead of, like, their own openings. And maybe, you know, for the later ones, we'll see how things go with numbers and so on. But obviously, better safe than sorry, mm-hmm. So.
Totally.
Yeah.
How open to the public is the Living is Easy in terms of non-members? I know it's only members get to showcase work, etc., but in terms of coming to see it.
Oh, totally open to the public. We just ask that people come during our gallery hours, which is 1 to 5 p.m. Tuesdays to Saturday. Mm-hmm. But the gallery is open to the public now. People are welcome to come in. We do strongly recommend that people wear masks. Again, just to be safe. but otherwise, yeah, people are totally welcome to come in and look. We've had a couple of people come in already, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. Soon we will have a signboard out front that'll say the artist's names and everything as well. But we actually really encourage people to come and see the work, especially since, you know, it's hard. We can't have the same opening reception as we would previously, but also this is our first show mm-hmm. since the pandemic that's in gallery, so it's really exciting. I think that if the public wants to come, they're totally welcome to.
That was Struts Web and Program Administrator Izzy Francolini. The reception for the work currently on display as part of the Living is Easy series is happening this afternoon between noon and 1 p.m., the same time as their weekly fundraiser barbecue. The artists currently on display are Madeline Hansen, Cheyenne Keane-Lemery, and Indu Varma. Their biographical information and a sneak peek at their exhibitions are on Struts & Fawcett's website, strutsgallery.ca. That's the Tintamarre Report for this week. Get in touch with leads or feedback at news@chmafm.com. I'm Meg Cunningham. Thank you for listening.